Okay, we're live. So we are live from Govardhan. A big crowd. And Jagadguru. So, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Viva Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Viva Gopi Jana Balaba Kibara Dave
Gopi Jana Balaba
Gopi Jana Balaba Kibara Dave Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yabunate Ravana Chalate Yamuna te Ravana Chalate Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Viharate Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvati Jaya All Siddhas at the Sri Shiva, His Divine Grace Avaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta Gosami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sehe Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaya Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindika Jaya Shishi Radhakrishna Govakavata Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jaya Vrindavanam Ki Jaya Maturidam Ki Jaya Jagadatha Sami Ki Jaya Yuvanamai Ki Jaya Shivati Glasi Devi Ki Jaya Samaveda Bhakta Vrindika Jaya Gaur Vrindika Jaya All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to see. Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we are going to read from the fifth chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita about the glories of Lord Nityananda. So Om Ganati Vandasha Ganajana Shlakaya Chakshur Vinitam Yena Tasmai Shivare Namaha. So all of you who are watching online, today is Nityananda Trayodasi, the appearance day of Lord Nityananda. And it's actually a different day here than it was in the United States. So it's the evening here. So we'll begin reading. Actually, we'll just read the English here and some of the verb words. Let me offer my obeisances to Lord Sri Nityananda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose opulence is wonderful and unlimited. By his will, even a fool can understand his identity. What's that? Oh, that's good. So you get cooking air. Let's skip ahead a little bit. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Lord Balaram is his second body. And they are both one and the same identity. They differ only in form. He is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. And I'll just read Prabhupada's purport. It's a short purport. Balaram is a swamsa expansion of the Lord, and therefore there is no difference in potency between Krishna and Balaram. The only difference is in their bodily structure. As the first expansion of Godhead, Balaram is the chief deity among the first quadruple forms, and he is the foremost assistant of Sri Krishna in his transcendental activities. That original Lord Krishna appeared in Navadvipa's Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram appeared with Lord Nityananda. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarshan, Seshanag, and the Vishnus who lie in the Karana ocean, Garbha ocean, and ocean of milk are his plenary portions and portions of his plenary portions. This is actually a verse written by Swarup Damodar Goswami from his diary, in which he was offering respectful obeisances to Lord Nityananda. Next verse, very important. Lord Balaram is the original Sankarshan. He assumes five other forms to serve Lord Krishna. He himself helps in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, and he does the work of creation in four other forms. So, we're going to hear about these forms in a second. He executes the orders of Lord Krishna in the work of creation, and in the form of Lord Shesh, he serves Krishna in various ways. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. According to expert opinion, Balaram, as the chief of the original quadruple forms, is also the original Sankarshan. Balaram, the first expansion of Krishna, expands himself in five forms. One, Mahasankarshan. Two, Karana Dakshai. Three, Garbha Dakshai. Four, Shiro Dakshai. And five, can you get it? Seish. Okay, all right. So Balaram expands himself with five forms. Remember five forms? Mahasankarshan. Mahavishnu, which is singing as Purana Dakshaya Vishnu, Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu, Shira Dakshaya Vishnu, and Shesh. Everybody remember that, you're going to be tested on that later. These five planetary forms are responsible for both the spiritual and material cosmic manifestations. In these five forms, Lord Balaram assists Lord Krishna's activities. The first four of these forms are responsible for the cosmic manifestations, where Shesha is responsible for personal service to Lord. Shesha is called Ananta or Unlimited because he assists the personality of Godhead in his unlimited expansions by performing an unlimited variety of services. Sri Balaram is the servitor. He's the servitor of Godhead who serves Lord Krishna in all affairs of existence and knowledge. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is the same servitor Godhead, Balaram, performs the same service to Lord Gauranga by constant association. So you really have to check all your texts continually during the class. Oh God. So, too much. I mean, I think it's, if you can wait a few minutes, we'll get the class. So basically, in the spiritual world, another thing that's not mentioned here in this verse, there's three aspects of the spiritual reality. There's Sambit, Sandini and Vadini. So the Samved, potency of the Lord is Balaram. And that Samved, he manifests that potency, sorry. And that Samved is the existential potency. That is the potency that maintains the existence for, because the existence of the spiritual never comes into existence, nor does it cease to exist, but he maintains the existence of the spiritual world. So the whole spiritual world is actually representation. And just like Prabhupada, and it's also explained in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, how Lord Nityananda Balaram is part of the manifestation of the spiritual world. He incarnates as the temple, as the Singhasana, as the Brahman thread on the Supreme Personality of God, and then all the, basically, the paraphernalia of the Supreme Lord is being maintained and manifest by Lord Balaram. Very interesting. And of course, Ladini Shakti is, she's about to run into the yoga, but anyway, she's the Ladini Shakti. So, very interesting ontological information. In all the forms he tastes the transcendental bliss of serving Krishna. That same Balaram is Lord Nityananda, the companion of Lord Gaurasundara. I surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, who is known as Sankarshan in the midst of the Chaturvyuha, consisting of Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajuna, and Aniruddha. He possesses full opulences and resides in Vaikuntha Loka, far beyond the material creation. Oh, I actually read that. It's actually, oh no, that's another verse. But written by Swarup Damodar Goswami. Beyond the material nature lies the realm known as the Paravyoma, the spiritual sky. Like Lord Krishna himself, who possesses all transcendental attributes, such as six opulences. Interesting. Spiritual sky possesses six opulences. That Vaikuntha region is all-pervading, infinite, and supreme. It is the residence of Lord Krishna and his incarnations. And in the highest region of that spiritual sky is the spiritual planet called Krishna Loka. It has three divisions. Does anyone know the three divisions?
Majority, Varga, and Loka.
And Gokul. There's a planet as known as Goloka. But it has three divisions, three neighborhoods there. Mathura, Dwarka, and Gokul. Sri Gokul, the highest of all, is also called Raj. And so it's interesting that the abode in Krishna Loka, Goloka, is not only called Raj, the most intimate about it, is also called Goloka. Which is interesting. So it's called Krishna Loka and Goloka. Goloka can refer to the planet where you have Mathura, Dwarka, and Braj there. But it also refers to Gokul. You know, I think you understand. It's called Braj, Goloka, Svetadvip, and Vrindavan. So actually you see these words utilized indicating different things in different contexts. Like for example, Svetadvipa can mean what in a different context? Anyone know?
The White Island.
The White Island, where?
In the Ocean of Milk.
In the Ocean of Milk. Maybe he knows. He's a scholar, Svetadvipa. And here it means the most intimate part of Krishna Loka. Like the transcendental body of Lord Krishna, Gokul is all-pervading and infinite and supreme. It expands both above and below without any restriction. This is a long purport here, but because we're reading about Lord Nityananda, I'm not going to read the purport. Actually, it's interesting. Let me do the purport. I like it. So, whew. Srila Jiva Goswami, the great authority and philosopher in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has discussed the abode of Krishna in his Krishna Sandarbha. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord refers to my abode. Srila Jiva Goswami, examining the nature of Krishna's abode, refers to the Skanda Purana, which states that the abodes of Godhead in the material world, such as Dwarka, Mathura, and Goloka, are facsimiles representing the abodes of Godhead in the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha Dham. So it's like a facsimile. Facsimile means like a copy. The unlimited spiritual atmosphere of that Vaikuntha Dham is far above and beyond the material cosmos. This is confirmed in the Swayambhuva Tantra, in a discussion between Lord Shiva and Parvati regarding the effect of chanting the mantra of 14 syllables. There it is stated, while chanting the mantra, one should always remember the spiritual world, which is very extensive and full of desire trees that can yield anything one desires. Below that Vaikuntha region is the potential material energy which causes the material manifestation. The places of the pastimes of Lord Krishna, such as Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan, eternally and independently exist in Krishna Loka. They are the actual abode of Lord Krishna, and there is no doubt that they are situated above the material cosmic manifestation. The abode known as Vrindavana, or Gokula, is also known as Goloka. The Brahma Sangita states that Goloka, the highest region of the kingdom of God, this is an interesting description, resembles a lotus flower with thousands of petals. The outer portion of that lotus-like planet is a square place known as Svetadvipa. In the inner portion of Gokula, there is an elaborate arrangement for Krishna's residence with his eternal associates such as Nanda and Yashoda. That transcendental abode exists, here's what I said before, by the energy of Sri Baladeva, who is the original whole of Sesha or Ananta. The Tantras also confirm this description by stating that the abode of Sri Anantadeva, the plenary portion of Baladeva, is called the Kingdom of God. Vrindavan Dham is the innermost abode within the quadrangular realm of Svetadvipa. Wow. Which lies outside of the boundary of Gokula Vrindavan. Wow. So here, essentially, like previously, just to reiterate what we just read, is that Svetadvipa is described as the innermost portion of the Mathura, right? Mathura, Dwarka, and Vrindavan. And here, Svetadvipa, inside that Gokul place, is actually on the outskirts of that. Does that make sense?
It sounds like it's in the outskirts of all Gokula.
No, it says the outskirts of Gokula Vrindavan. Gokula Vrindavan means the innermost portion of Krishna Loka. Because the innermost portion of Krishna Loka previously was described as Gokula and Vrindavan. So you have Gokula Vrindavan. Because certainly Dwarka and Mathura wouldn't fall under the jurisdiction of Vrindavan.
But it also said that the lotus flower of Goloka is also a Svetadvipa.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It says, in one sense, the word Svetadvipa can indicate the inner portion of Krishna Loka. And in that inner portion, Svetadvipa, in another context, Svetadvipa means on the outskirts of that Gokul or Braj. It's interesting how different words are used to indicate something different in different contexts. What?
I'm going to make noise.
Oh my God. We're online. They're going to appreciate that one. How long is that going to be for?
The power's off and it's switching the wall.
How long is that going to last for? What? Okay, good. According to Jiva Goswami, Vaikuntha is also called Brahmaloka. So here you have another word that sometimes refers to the abode of Lord Brahma in this world. And sometimes Brahma Loka refers to the Brahmana Bolton
still. Yeah,
that's interesting. The Narada Pancharatra, in a statement concerning the mystery of Vijay, describes the predominator of the gopis, Govinda, the principal deity of Gokula, always enjoys himself in a place called Goloka, in the topmost part of the spiritual sky. From the authoritative evidence cited by Srila Jiva Goswami, you may conclude that Krishna Loka is the supreme planet in the spiritual sky, which is far beyond the material cosmos. For the enjoyment, so here's the word Krishna Loka again, for the enjoyment of transcendental variety, the pastimes of Krishna there have three divisions in these pastimes that we discussed before, performed in these abodes, Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokula. When Krishna descends to this universe, he enjoys the pastimes in places of the same name. These places on earth are not different from those original abodes, for they are facsimiles of those original holy places in this transcendental world. They are as good as Sri Krishna himself and are equally worshipable. Lord Chaitanya declared that Lord Krishna, who presents himself as the son of the king of Raj, is worshipable, and Vrindavan Dham is equally worshipable. That's the operative word, equally worshipable. So where we are is equally worshipable. We're actually walking here on the deity in Braj. It's heavy. That abode is manifested within the material world by the will of the Lord Krishna. It is identical to that original Gokula. They are not two different bodies. Wow. Let's read this again. This is very applicable for our visit here. The above-mentioned dhammas are movable by the omnipotent will of Lord Krishna. When Sri Krishna appears on the face of this earth, he can also make his dhammas appear without changing their original structure. One should not discriminate between the dhammas on the earth and those in the spiritual sky. Prabhupada said not discriminate. Thinking those on earth to be material and the original abodes to be spiritual. All of them are spiritual. Only for us, here's what Prabhupada does, he explains, who cannot experience anything beyond matter in our present conditioned state, do the dhammas and the Lord himself in his archer form appear before us, resembling matter to give us the facility to see spirit with material eyes. In the beginning, this may be difficult for a neophyte to understand, but in due course, when one is advanced in devotional service, it will be easier and he will appreciate the Lord's presence in these tangible forms. Wow. In other words, as Prabhupada said, this abode of the Lord is covered by a thin layer of maya. A very, very thin layer. And those who are not Krishna conscious at all, they just see the illusion. And those who are little Krishna conscious, they get little glimpses from time to time. Oh, there's Krishna, the birds are chanting Hare Krishna. Is that what we call warblers?
I don't know about
you hear the birds. The birds are chanting.
Those are parrots.
Sorry, they're chanting Hare Krishna, I think, yeah. So those who are not Krishna conscious, then they just hear the screeching of the parrots. But those who are Krishna conscious, they actually can hear. And basically, they just see, not that they see Krishna directly, because Krishna not manifests right as uppercut Leela, but they can feel the presence of Krishna here in the abode. It's interesting. The land there is touchstone, Chintamani, and the forests abound with desire trees. Material eyes see it as an ordinary place. Let's see, I'll read this bird. It's a really, no, it's a nice bird. All these bird birds are just like really wonderful. By the grace of the Lord, his dhammas and he himself can all be present simultaneously without losing the original importance. Only when one fully develops an affection and love for Godhead can one see those dhammas in their original appearance. Srila Narottamadas Thakur, a great acharya, the preceptorial lion of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has said for our benefit, that one can perfectly see the Dhammas only when one completely gives up the mentality of lording it over material nature. One's spiritual vision develops proportionately to one's giving up the debased mentality of unnecessarily enjoying matter. A diseased person who has become diseased because of a certain bad habit must be ready to follow the advice of the physician, and as a natural sequence, he must attempt to give up the cause of the disease. The patient cannot indulge in the bad habit and at the same time expect to be cured by the physician. Modern materialist civilization, however, is maintaining a diseased atmosphere. The living being is a spiritual spark, as spiritual as the Lord himself. The only difference is that the Lord is great and the living being is small. Qualitatively, they are one, but quantitatively, they are different. Therefore, since the living being is spiritual in constitution, he can be happy only in the spiritual sky, whereas there are unlimited spiritual spheres called Vaikunthas. Where there are unlimited spiritual spheres called Vaikunthas. The spiritual being conditioned by a material body must therefore try to get rid of this disease instead of developing the cause of the disease. Foolish persons engrossed in their material assets are unnecessarily proud of being leaders of the people, but they ignore the spiritual value of man. Such illusion leaders make plans covering any number of years, but they can hardly make humanity happy in a state conditioned by the threefold miseries inflicted by material nature. One cannot control the laws of nature by any amount of struggling. One must at last be subject to death, nature's ultimate law. Death, birth, old age, and illness are the symptoms of the diseased condition of the living being. The highest aim of human life should be, therefore, to get free from these miseries and go back to home, back to Godhead. But with the eyes of love of Godhead, one can see its real identity as the place where Lord Krishna performs his pastimes with the coward boys and coward girls. I worship Govinda, Krishna's Brahma Samhita. The primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending cows, yielding all desires in abodes built with spiritual gems and surrounded by millions of purpose trees. He is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. This, of course, is from the Brahma Samhita. Let's break the long purport. Let me get this for a second. Prabhupada's words are amazing. I mean, there's so much realization that one gets just from reading Prabhupada's books. Many devotees in our movement have taken a vow to read for a certain number of hours a day, to read out loud. And some devotees like me on the internet for like an hour or two a day, and they have people just reading along with them. He manifests his own form in Mathura and Dwarka. He enjoys pastimes in various ways by expanding into the quadruple forms. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajuna, Nani Buddha are the primary quadruple forms from whom all the quadruple forms are manifested. They are all purely transcendental. Only in these three places, again, Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokula, does the all-sporting Lord Krishna perform his endless pastimes with his personal associates. In the Vaikuntha planets of the spiritual sky, the Lord manifests his identity as Narayan and performs pastimes in various ways. So you have these two verses. Only does the Lord perform his endless pastimes with his personal associates. In other words, that's one of the qualities that only Krishna manifests. And there's four qualities only Krishna manifests in contrast with the Narayan forms of the Lord. What are those four qualities? Do you know?
Intimate pastimes.
Fruit.
Places of growth.
Unexcelled beauty.
And loving devotees. Intimate pastimes and intimate devotees. So you can conflate both of those, but anyway, they're both taken as separate. So he has, you know, devotees who can go up to him and slap him on the back. And that doesn't happen in Vaikuntha, that, you know, one of the Vaikuntha Vasas with all of his forearms, slaps Lord Narayan on the back.
It doesn't even happen in work, does it? No one's like that.
Krishna's sons. I mean, his sons with all reverence like that. You know, there's a little bit more intimacy in Dwarka. And his wives chastise him there. Like, you have Satyabhama. What does she do? She nags. And she says, give me that Parijata flower. Give me a whole tree. You got Rukmini. That's what happens when you get married. You got Rukmini. A flower. You just get me a whole tree. Now get it now. And Chris says,
okay. I'll do it.
He gets her a whole tree and he has to just satisfy his nagging wife. He has to fight all the demigods who are upset that he's taken the Parijata tree from the heavenly planets. So, you know, that happens in the Dwarka pastimes too. There's intimacy, you know, the wives can actually chastise him. And then also, you know, you also have, there's some intimacy with the pastimes of parental relationship in Mathura too. When Krishna comes and saves Devaki and Vasudeva, and you know, so she actually, her breast milk flows and everything like that. So that's intimacy. But you don't have anything like that. I mean, it's not as much intimacy as there is in Braj, of course. But there's, you know, it differentiates in those three abodes. There's a differential of the relationship in terms of there's basically no other relationship other than on reverence in the Vaikuntha planets. I mean, even you have Lakshmi, who's just like nervous. There's a whole story in the Chaitanya Mangal about, it precedes the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Narada is serving Lakshmi in that story, and he wants to get Mahaprasadam. And Lakshmi says, what do you want? And he says, I want Mahaprasadam. And she's real nervous because she's been told by the Lord not to give Mahaprasadam to anybody. And she gingerly approaches Lord Vishnu and says, dear, I have a question for you. Would you mind? It's almost like the army. I was just talking to someone who just came back from the Marine training. And before you ask a question, you have to refer to yourself in third person. It's a private bozo would like to ask a question. Can he ask a question, sir? And then finally, your commanding officer or trainer says, what question does Private Bozo have to ask? So when you have a real lack of intimacy, you have to refer to yourself in the third person. And just like to life. Your obedient servant Lakshmi has a question. It's the same thing, isn't it? It's actually interesting how when you get this extreme separation, you know, it's really awe and reverence, then there's even like referring to yourself as the third person. Like if someone is very much afraid of their guru, they say, you're obedient and servant. Ganesha has a question. It's interesting, isn't it? How third person that naturally goes there when you're really, you know, taking a humble position.
I guess that's my problem. I didn't do that.
No, you didn't do that. Anyway, this is really interesting. Prabhupada's books are just so interesting. So, Krishna's own form has only two hands, but in the form of Lord Narayan, he has four hands. Lord Narayan holds a conch shell, club, disc, a lotus flower, and he is full of great opulence. The Shri, Bhu, and Neel energies serve at his lotus feet. So here in the purport, you're going to find something very interesting. This I should read. It's a long purport. But Prabhupada describes Shri, Bhu, and Neel in different ways. Now, my understanding of Shri, Bhu, and Neel, according to what one description of Prabhupada gives here, is Shri refers to Lakshmi, Bhu refers to Bhu Devi, and Neel refers to the Leela energy of Krishna's pastimes or Lord Narayan's energies. So, purport. In the Ramanuja Madhva sects of Vaishnavism, There are extensive descriptions of Shiva in the Nila. In Bengal, the Nila energy is sometimes called the Lila energy. So it's anyway, you can watch online. It'll be available later. And all these nice devotees watch it. In Bengal, these three energies are employed in the service of forehead and Narayan with Vaikuntha. Relating how three of the all-words, namely Bhuta Yogi, Sari Yogi, and Brunta Yogi, saw Narayan in person, when they took shelter at the house of a Brahmin in the village of Gehali, the Prapanamrita of the Sri Sampradaya describes Narayan as follows. They saw the lotus-eyed Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, mounted on Garuda and holding Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, to his chest. He resembled a bluish rain cloud with flashing lightning, and in two of his four hands, he held a conch shell and disc. His arms stretched down to his knees, and all the beautiful limbs were smeared with sandalwood and decorated with glittering ornaments. He wore yellow clothes, and by his either side stood his energies, Bhumi and Nila. There's the following reference to the Shibhu and Nila energies in the Sita Upanishad. Wow. Ma Lakshmi, the supreme energy of the Lord, is experienced in different ways. She is divided into material and spiritual energies, and in both features she acts as the willing energy, creative energy, and the internal energy. The willing energy is again divided into three, namely Shri, Bhu, and Nil. Quoting from the revealed scriptures in his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, Madhvacharya has stated that a mother material nature, which is conceived of as the illusory energy, Durga, has three divisions, namely Shri, Bhu, and Nil. She is the illusory energy for those who are weak of spiritual strength, because such energies are created energies of Lord Vishnu. Although each energy has no direct relationship with the unlimited, they are subordinate to the Lord because the Lord is the master of all energies. So there's another definition of Shri, Bhu, and Nil. You understand? Shri, Bhu, and Nil can also be described as the three divisions of Durga's energy, in addition to the three divisions. I mean, they're reflections or emanations or expansions from the Shibhu and Nil that serve Lord Narayan. In the Bhagavad Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami states, the Padma Purana refers to the eternally auspicious abode of Godhead, which is full of all opulences, including the energy Shri, Bhu, and Nil. The Mahasamhita, which discusses the transcendental name and form of Godhead, also mentions Durga as the potency of the supersoul relationship with the living entities. The internal potency acts in relation with his personal affairs, and the material potency manifests the three modes. Quoting elsewhere from the revealed scriptures, he states that Shri is the energy of Godhead that maintains the cosmic manifestation, Bhu is the energy that creates the cosmic manifestation, and Nila Durga is the energy that destroys the creation. All these energies act in relation with the living beings, and thus they are together called Jiva Maya. So, in other words, there's basically at least two different descriptions of what Shri, Bhu, and Nil mean, which is quite interesting. Okay, so maybe we'll end here. Today's our first day. Tomorrow we're going out on Parikrama. So, nice to see everybody who is in the material world, who is in the one-quarter energy of the Supreme Lord. We are in the three-quarters energy of the Supreme Lord here in Govardhan. The rest of you are in the one-quarter energy. Very unfortunate, the material world. Okay? Respects from the spiritual world to all of you. So all glories to Srila Prabhupada.